Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Further from sobriety. So sobriety. Every day I'm moving further.
And now it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art, with your host, David Von Strong. And now, here's David.
Hello! Charlottesville! How did we win that game? How did we win that game, Kyle Guy? You are a national treasure, at least a local treasure, in the new and burgeoning Charlottesville here at Homegrown, your local show about art, which is why all of our listeners are like, what is he talking about? Was there a game yesterday? Did the Blue Jays play?
Was there a sports thing?
Sports ball, yay. But this is your local show about art, 94.7 WPVC. I am David Von Strong, a.k.a. the Devious One, a.k.a. Nefarious Rocker, a.k.a. Negro Suave, a.k.a. Black Frodo. Little guy, Eric B. Trying to get through the darkness. Trying to get through the darkness. Hashtag Trump's America. Yeah, I'm just...
Still think that's the whiteness. Still think that's
the
whiteness.
It's the whitening. It's the white out. Trump is the white out of America. But I want to focus on positive things though. I want to focus on this game. I want to focus on small miracles. You know, we can talk about how much UVA is lacking in diversity, and we can talk about how much they've kind of concealed information about like eugenics and all that stuff and blah 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 blah. But I want to focus on the positive. You did a great job. And I'll give you this. The national media did not want Virginia to be in the national championship game. They said they played a horrible, spotty, weak, well, not weak, but just a non-flashy version of basketball, mostly intended by defense, Tony Bennett style. But it got him this far. And it was the offense. It was the three shots that got him into the championship. So, hey, props to UVA. And we'll talk about the other stuff, and we'll talk about everything that y'all swept under the rug another week. But for right now, congratulations. And I hope y'all win on Monday. Because I think sports unify people. Am I wrong?
No, David. I think that organized events that draw arbitrary lines between groups to form particular sides and celebrates a really harsh competition between those, I think that unifies people a lot.
I think so. And I also think a system that marginalizes people of color by not paying them and not compensating them accurately. Didn't the NCAA make like billions of dollars last year? But now I hear you about that.
it's we're going to talk about it. It's
and we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that.
It's in the list of
that's right. But yeah. Thanks for throwing me off, Jay.
That's the great thing. Jay's like, "Oh, you could be woke in this way."
I'm just switch it over now. No. Jay Taylor showed me a picture of the Black Monologues, and yes, that's great. That's a step. That's a step, and I think that UVA is making strides and going forward, and you know,
that's a step in fetch.
Yeah, exactly, and I appreciate that, and yeah, so I'm not gonna dismiss that totally, but accountability.
But this was light banter. This was light banter. This wasn't a penetrating deep dive into racial setups at the University of Virginia.
And I heard a quote another week that said accountability is what turns good things into great things. So I just try to put that in my life. But enough about me and enough about UVA. We're gonna be talking about the book Will, yay, directed by you know one of the one of those people that come around here, think they know everything about everybody, but we're not with them right now. We're with Jay Taylor. He's a set and light designer. We're with Tanya K. Manuel. She's a sound designer of the Book of Will. They're the behind the scenes gurus of Make It Happen. So I'm going down at Live Arts Theater April 12th to the 28th. The Book of Will is a play about the following. Jay, go.
Book of Will is about...
Close to the mic. Close to the mic. Really close to the mic.
Yeah.
Book of Will is
love
about,
that mic.
About the making of the first Shakespeare folio. And it's... It can't be stressed enough. It's about that. It's a fictionalized account of the printing of the first folio, by Laura Gunderson. And so it's not a historical play, but it's a it is about historical true facts. Tanya, anything?
Anything? Well, yeah, it's a play about a book, the Book of Will. And it actually, it shows the struggle of artists, how you have to sort of meet halfway with, what, financial concerns, and it just shows that...
Artists never have to worry about that.
The more things change, the more they
The government pays for everything.
Exactly. The more they stay the same. Because it's about the struggle of collecting all of these really great plays... At the time that all the actors were kicking off, they were just dying.
Yeah.
And all the pieces were going to be lost, and so the answer was to collect them all before anyone who remembered the words and who had access to any of the actual scripts was just gone off the face of the earth. So.
Right on.
So that's what it's about.
Right on. So there's no Roland Emmerich conspiracies in here. No John Donne references. Nothing. No subversive like, well, Shakespeare didn't write his stuff type.
No. It's not
commentary.
It doesn't go into that. Kind of, it's about the people. It's a fictionalized account of the people around Shakespeare wanting to preserve his work. And how they went about doing that in the time, and how they got to how they felt the need to do this because they believed in it, how they were dealing with counterfeiters of the day, and how people were already stealing his words and corrupting it, and
Shakespeare on the bootleg.
Yeah, it was.
Gotta get that bootleg Shakespeare.
There was bootleg Shakespeare out there, and they were trying to make sure that his words got put down, which none of us were alive then, but evidently that was true. So
that sounds like a lot of stuff that modern artists have to deal with now.
It's exactly the same struggle.
Can you just stuff the mic inside of your nose so that Clinton will stop saying, get the mic close to you? Clinton Johnson, executive producer of Homegrown HNIC. I love you very much.
Is this better, Clinton?
Get closer.
Okay, good.
But you were saying?
I was saying that it's a play about the struggles of the artist and how... what it takes to go to get from point A to point B to complete a project without funding, with competing interests, counterfeiters,
and the human element,
and the personalities, and the
grudges, jealousies.
So speaking of the struggle,
actors aren't divas.
So speaking of the struggle of the artist. You were the set designer and the lighting designer.
Correct.
Talk about for people who and we're excited to have you guys here because frequently we have actors on, we have directors on, and it's nice to get some exposure to other people who do things on shows because it takes a lot. and a lot of different people doing a lot of different things to make a show work. Can you, for people who might be listening or watching who don't know, can you talk about what a lighting designer does, what a set designer does, and what you did for this show? How did you approach doing the set and lights for Book of Will? And first of all, it's not a common thing to be both in this
that
town.
That is correct.
For the same show.
So I don't know. I am not formally trained in either set or lighting design. I've been doing it for a while, so I have, I think, a unique approach. I try to create for the set portion. Well, for anything I'm designing, I try to take the my portion of it and create a space in which the actors, who are the ones visually representing the production, and create a space with sound, lights, set. I'm not doing sound for this, but with the lights and the set, that they can express themselves best and get their message across. It's not. I believe that less is more with regard to how this. It's not about my set. I am just a vehicle for the play to be put out there for all to see.
Notwithstanding Jay's modesty, he has also contributed his services to Jitney and Fences and pretty much all of the August Wilson cycles that the Charlottesville Splayer Guild has put on at the Jefferson School African American Heritage Center. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're welcome.
Times a thousand for your services and your awesomeness and the ideas that you bring into a production that just seem so like, oh yeah, why didn't I think of that? And like, I don't know, you just find like the greatest stuff. I mean, you're just a wizard at what you do, and I've seen you just like work in several productions as well. Like pretty much 75% of the shows that I've been in or affiliated with have been with you doing stuff in the background. So thank you so much for that.
You're welcome.
It's
a pleasure.
I just picture you as like part of Charlottesville, like, oh, Jay Taylor's gonna do your set. I mean, if you're doing a show, like, not to like, you know, automatically oblige you to a
production. I thank you very much, but truly it's not a, I mean, I like I said, I believe that less is more in most of the productions that I work on, and I think that what I try to do is
I think that's why producers like you.
Well, maybe, but the
budget is low.
What I try to create is not about the set. It's about the production and about the collaboration between. Maybe that's what it's about. Is that it's really a collaboration between myself and other designers, the director and the actors to produce an entire sound, lighting, scenescape that helps to communicate the overall message of the show.
Right.
That's great. That's great. And I don't think that it's great to hear, and I don't think that should be taken for granted, because especially when dealing with community theater, especially when dealing with low budget theater, it's really easy and sometimes necessary to be driven almost completely by the bottom line. And I know that I sometimes go see plays, not necessarily in this town, but I go see plays where I look at, say, the set, and I'm like, that set was designed utilitarianly. That set was designed with budget in mind, and it's not doing anything to speak about the show or help the show or help tell the story at all. It's like, it works, it's there, but like, clearly it's like, oh, we had this, we're going to do this.
Well, I think that if the set isn't helping to tell the story, then it's just another room or a building or a scene on its own. And if it doesn't interact or integrate into the overall production, I think it's not doing its job, quite frankly.
So can you talk a little bit about how the set for Book of Will helps tell the story?
Sure. It is it's a play about Shakespeare, or he's a central figure in it, even though he never shows up in it.
Right, because he's dead by the time
these
events occur.
Correct. And so, but it does take place at the Globe and in a medieval tavern and in a street in London. So those are the three main areas, and there's a couple of houses. But so I used a circular design, which we believe the Globe was circular. And also I think that, you know, if you want to talk metaphors, all the world's a stage. The Globe is round. So there's a round element to it. There are stairs in it that surround the Globe. So there's a hierarchy to it. There's the tones of it are wood and earth tones. There's a curtain, which is theatrical. There's several set pieces that evoke time and grandeur. There's another set piece that is, I think, simplistic yet shapely and raw. Anyway.
No, I didn't say, like,
no,
you
no.
say, okay.
No, no. Anyway, so in other words,
talking to Clint. I'm sorry.
You know, my thoughts were to try to evoke the time and the place and let it just be a place that the actors could work, that's open and free of clutter and actual commentary.
Mm-hmm.
And now people know more about it than you would just walking in, but
right on.
That was my goal.
No, totally. Too bad because, it's not like we're never going to see you again. We just have to do a commercial, and we'll be right back. And then we'll get back with, is it Tanya or Tanya?
Tanya.
Tanya. I apologize for saying that. I mispronounce all of the names, so I'm just trying to bat 1,000 as I'm going through it. But Tanya's going to, when we come back,
you're going to sound.
It's all good. I get it all the time. I get Strogan and everything. So Tanya, when we get back, you're also the sound designer, and you've written original music for this show, if I'm not mistaken. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. And hopefully we'll get you to play some of that on this lovely lute that we have back here. just so conveniently. But I think that's important. I think that technical design should also be considered as part of the collaborative process in art form, and I don't think it's necessarily done so. I think people are like, oh, we're just going to be dreamers and get all of our actors together and talk creative process, and then we're just going to get some grunts together and put up some wood. And that's not how it works. Like, everything is together, and I'm so happy, Jay, that you're here to, like, you know, break it all down for the people
idea.
That don't know. Totally.
It doesn't always work that way.
Well, we're going to talk about how we make it work that way. We're going to be right back. This is Homegrown. Drop!
This is Andy Davis from Bent Theater Improv Comedy, and you are listening to Homegrown, your show about local arts on 94.7
WPVC.
94.7 WPVC.
94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm David. That's Clinton. Leslie's out with pollen. Tanya, Manuel, and Jay Taylor in the house for the Book of Will, going down at the Live Arts. Gibson, April 12th. Through the 28th, short run. What is that, like 2 weeks? Better get your tickets now.
And a half.
Two and a half. All right, so Tanya, you got a little bit of music for us that you have written originally.
Yes.
So that you can perform. You're just okay. Like, oh, I guess. If I must. Oh, what's this? A guitar right behind me.
Yeah. Surprise.
Yeah. So the title, is this a part of the show, or is this kind of like a before or after, like, cut?
There's two pieces that are a part of the show.
Okay.
And one is a sonnet that the cast performs, and another one is Hey Nonny Nonny, which is that's a medieval
that's
expression.
Like the Who Let the Dogs
Actually,
Out
yeah.
of medieval
it's,
times.
It's not medieval, it's Elizabethan.
Hey,
thank you, exactly.
Thank you, Boomy.
Oh, yeah. Yes. It's Elizabethan.
This is the Jersey remix, if I'm not mistaken.
Let's try it.
I'm just playing. Danny Manuel.
Okay. Sigh no more, sigh no more. Men were deceivers ever, with one foot in the sea and one on the shore. To one thing constant never, then sigh not so, but let them go. And be you blithe and bonny, converting all your sounds of woe into hey nanny nanny, hey nanny nanny, hey nanny nanny, hey. Sing no more, did he sing no more of dumb so dull and heavy? The fraud of man was ever so since summer first was levied. Then sigh not so, but let them go and be you blithe and bonny, converting all your sounds of woe into hate. Words by William Shakespeare.
What?
In the, Shakes. In the house.
Bringing that hard rock.
It's an oldie, but a goodie.
yes.
Nice. Nice, nice, nice. So, as sound designer, what aspects did you see that you saw or heard, rather, within the script and talked with Boomy and was like, I would want to do this, that, and the third. What was that? What was that Tanya Manuel spice that you put up on the Book of Will, personally?
Well,
for those sound designers listening out there.
Well, the approach in this piece was a different angle from the onset, which is that we've always talked about an open collaboration. So the approach to sound design is an organic approach where instead of imposing sounds and sound effects on the actors and the cast, we developed a soundscape that the actors could use as part of their storytelling tools. Mm-hmm. So I listened to a lot of melodies from back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of a minor haunting sound to them.
Gotcha.
So I grabbed a couple melodies that kind of overlay.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple little snippet melodies in there too, but trying to use this Elizabethan harmonic scale. So
right,
it's a little sorrowful, mm-hmm. but then a little sassy.
Yeah.
So
because that's what Billy Shakes is, you know, kind of melancholic. People say over dramatic, but there was a morose quality there at times, a lot of death, a lot of introspection.
Yes.
Were there any exercises that you did with the cast to get everybody on the same page and get everybody synthesized?
Well, Boomy led us in a really great activity a couple nights ago or a week ago or so. I don't know. The rehearsal thing kind of rolls into a big ball.
Right, right.
But it was
Boomy Pedersen, director of the show.
Yes, Boomy Pedersen.
Done a thing or two around this community. So, I don't know if you've heard of her.
So it was just really mainly on the pronunciation of Shakespeare's language, which you've got to pronounce those words, which mm-hmm. is a struggle for everyone.
Absolutely.
I mean,
especially for me today, right now.
Yes, that's what we worked on, and I think that it just helps it. Helps it hang in the air. It's just pronouncing these wild and wonderful words.
And if I know Boomy, she definitely highlights diction and quality of verbiage.
Because that tells the story.
Absolutely.
We have to understand.
And if you can't hear what the people are talking about, then what's the point of coming out?
Yeah, you don't get the punchline if you don't hear the joke.
Boom.
So we want to hear the joke. But I guess overall, the approach was just to work, was just to bring, meld all the elements together. Instead of, a lot of times in the theater, someone will be assigned sound, someone will be assigned lights, and someone will be assigned set. And then everyone works individually and separately, and then you just kind of try to smash it together. But this was a totally different approach.
Wow.
Where early on it was established that anyone from any of those various departments could interpose ideas and mm-hmm. bring up suggestions, and that sacred wall mm-hmm. of don't mess with my
right,
part
right.
in the of the production was never there.
Right.
So it just made it a lot more fun.
And I want to bounce it back to you, Jay. Like you're set and light designer, like Clinton said, that's not all the time that happens in the show. And y'all both are wearing multiple hats, whereas people, you know, in your position would, you know, have these positions spread out. You know, is that daunting? And is that a challenge that, I mean, of course you accept it because y'all are in it. Y'all are doing it now. But was it something that, you know, was kind of like, I don't know. That's kind of how they do things, you know, because y'all are technical people. So I figured that y'all do it the technical way.
Personally, I enjoy it. I like being able to work with Tanya, and haven't had too much to do with costumes. But
costumes are going to be amazing, I'm sure.
Dorothy has done big frilly
collars and floppy hats.
Dorothy has done
feathers.
An amazing job. One of the concepts that I was working with from a set and at least in my aesthetic was I don't know what this is called, but in Blade Runner, in the film Blade Runner,
never seen it. No, I'm
the
just
set and
people are like what?
It's set in the future.
Yes.
So there's flying cars and there's all these, you know, talking billboards and various other and sundry technologically advanced things. Yet the costuming and the architecture and the feel of the film is like 1940s mm-hmm. noir.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a detective film. It has an all time feel to it. Mm-hmm. In other words, it's not set in any one time. Mm-hmm. And I know the clothing, you know, some of the characters are punk rock and blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's the way I approach this, and I think Tanya, we did talk about that it doesn't have a. It's not set in a time. Yes, it takes place in a specific time in Elizabethan England around Will Shakespeare, but my look at it was not something that was set in that time. Anyway, and yes to your question, I really enjoy working with other people and having them influence me and vice versa.
Right on. Tanya?
Yes.
Yes. Easiest interview ever. Mic drop. No, I know, yeah, we're super over time. I gotta wrap up. Thank y'all so much
thank
for being
you.
Here and sharing your music and talking about the technical aspects of everything. Like Clinton said, we don't get often a chance for people to do that, so thank you so much. And like I said, Jay, it's always good to see you all the time.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Having us, quite
yes.
frankly.
Yes, yes, yes. And it's good to meet Tanya.
Yeah.
Yay. Golf clap. I guess I should do these artistic events.
Excellent.
I'll do them all, I guess. Thank you. Thank you so much. Got that music going? Yep. You guys hear the music? Here's just some of the artistic events happening this week. Oh, we are great at transitions. Currently running.
That's
currently running.
14th.
April 13th.
You know what I mean?
The American Shakespeare Center presents its 2019 Actors Renaissance season, featuring Henry IV, Part 1, The Merry Wives of Windsor, by William Shakespeare, who we were just talking about. We seem to talk about a lot in this show. He's an actor. I guess we do things. He's a little important. and Paige Hates Fun, Arden of Faversham. That's all going down Blackfriars Theater in Stanton. So, yeah, get your tickets. Blackfriars is always putting something good going down every time. Currently running now through April 14th. Hello, Dolly! Four County Players. I just saw it yesterday. It was dope. Yesterday night, rather. Everybody put their foot in it. The choreography is dope. I had a ball. Check it out. Last Chance PVCC presents Time of My Life at the V. Earl Dickinson Building at 2:30 p.m. Oh, that's today? Man. Okay, today, speculative fiction author K.E. Lanning reads from the final book in her Melt trilogy. Listen to the birds at a book launch event at New Dominion Bookshop at 2 p.m. I got this indigestion thing going on, so I apologize. Too much coffee. Currently running, catch these art exhibits until April 30th. Rich Tarbell's photography exhibits. It's a music town, exploring the sights, the sounds, and the stories of Charlottesville in the modern rock era. He was on yesterday. Presented by Presented by the Albemarle Charlottesville Historical Society, made possible by a donation from Hunter Smith at Champion Brewing Company. Love you, Champion. Running at the City Space. UVA students Alden Meyer and Liza Wimbish open their photography exhibit, A Place to Call, at the Writer House. I thought it was going to be A Place to Call home, but no, it's just A Place to Call. They tricked you. Michael Fitz and Megan Reed have Objectify, their joint exhibit of their photorealistic style of painting at Second Street Gallery. I love that. It's so hard to do. It's photorealistic. Retired UVA medieval art professor.
And more people are talking about that exhibit. It just, their opening was just Friday, and I had people coming up to me. He's like, have you seen this yet?
I mean, I might just have to objectify it. Retired UVA medieval art professor exhibits her pattern images, the results of photography and Photoshop at New Dominion Bookshop. Who is this retired UVA medieval art professor? There's no name. It just says retired UVA.
He knows who he is.
He knows who he is. You know who he is. She. They. Painter Ken Horn. Sculptor Robert Strinney at New City Arts Welcome Gallery. They're painting and sculpting. I don't know exactly what it's called, but it's going to be dope. Currently running through April 13th, Black Monologues 2019, Our Black is Power at UVA Helms Theater. It's going to be fire. I saw the Black Monologues last year. It's always great every year. Do not miss it. Currently running April 14th, the Persimmon Tree Players present Out of Sight, Out of Murder at the Carey's Book Performing Arts Center in Fork Union. Oh, look at Fork Union coming up and giving us their information. All right, good for y'all. April 9th, the Fralin Art Museum offers Babies in Artland for adult caregivers of infants 12 months and younger. Bring your baby to join fellow parents for lively conversations about works of art. Make your baby a piece of art. It don't matter. Just put it on the paint and just make it go. April 11th, Khaki Timuk presents her watercolors and pen and ink drawings in Looking In and Looking Out at the John P. and Stephanie F. Connaughton Gallery at UVA McIntyre School of Commerce. I'll get it one day. April 11th, catch a 45-minute sneak peek at this year's Wild and Scenic Film Festival presented by Wild Virginia at Lighthouse Studio, Vinegar Hill Theater. Also, April 11th, the Spoken Word Open Mic, One Mic Stand returns to PVCC at the V. Earl Dickinson Building. Bring your own and or watch others. Poems, stand-ups, political satire, and or storytelling. Also, April 11th, the UVA MFA reading series continues with students Bobby Elliott and Susan Eckel reading their work at New Dominion Bookshop. April 12th, Laugh Your Ass Off Comedy Showcase with Chris Allen at the Southern Cafe and Music Hall. It's always a blast. I always lose my ass. It's a brilliant time. April 12th, a celebration of Sidney Blair honoring the posthumous release of UVA creative writing professor Sidney Blair's Honorable Men at New Dominion Bookshop. Did I pronounce posthumous? Okay. April 13th, UVA Fralin Art Museum. Docent and former guest June Hines guides you through 45 minutes of meditative exploration at Fralin Art Pieces at her Looking Inward Meditative Art Tour. And April 13th, DMR Adventures presents Magic Treehouse Pirates Past Noon at the Belmont's Art Collaborative. DMR, they always do great shows. And for your music options this week,
Today, Berto Salas and Brian Caputo, the Glasshouse Winery, at 3 p.m., the Cavalieri Symphony Orchestra presents Spellbound, a concert including selections from Lord of the Rings, The Magic Flute, Swan Lake, Fantastic Beasts, and Where to Find Them, and more at the Martin Luther King Jr. Performing Arts Center at 3:30 p.m. Tonight, the UVA Department of Music presents jazz, small groups, and concert at Old Cabell Hall. Tomorrow, it's Red and the Romantics at the Whiskey Jar, the Bridge Progressive Arts Initiative continuing its Music Matters series, connecting with painters, sound artists, and musicians via live digital links with, get this, Makanda, South Africa. That's right, we're doing that at the Bridge.
Bring your baby with you.
The Bridge PAI, April 9th. Eli Cook headlines Brady Earnhardt's monthly singer-songwriter showcase, Uncovered, at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub, April 9th. Also, Lewis Smith and friends of Fellini's Catch Your Funky Jazz Blue Pop with the Ragnarockers at Shabin Pub and Bry, and Junior's Last Stand at Dirty Nelly's on the 10th. The UVA Department of Spanish, Italian, and Portuguese present A Night in Brazil with Beliza and visiting artists Rodrigo Sousa and Andy Cannell at UVA Nursing School's McLeod Hall Auditorium. Also on the 10th, Devin Sproul does a concert with upstate New York's indie folk duo The Sea at Southern Cafe and Music Hall. On the 11th, the Weed Eaters at the Whiskey Jar, Coda at Dirty Nelly's, Raphael Escoffier presents new sonatas for classical guitar at The Haven. The UVA Klezmer Ensemble plays UVA's Hunter Smith Band Building, and Tanya Ray and the T-Ray Band at the Whiskey Jar. On the 12th, Fridays After 5 starts again at the Sprint Pavilion, starting with Red and the Romantics. Rock it, guys, rock it. South Canal Street at Grace Health and Rehab at Greene County. Sisters and Brothers, the new group, with former guest and vocalist Davina Jackson. They're playing. Check them out. April 12th, Cherry Red at Dirty Nelly's. I, Jen Fang, directs the University of Virginia Percussion Ensemble at Old Cabell Hall. John Dirth on the 13th, directing the UVA Student Jazz Ensemble in their spring concert, Jazz for Justice. On Lara at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Severed Heads of Gwion Pond at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Matthew Wilner and Enemy at the Whiskey Jar, and the Gladstones at Dirty Nelly's every Sunday. Travis Elliott at a Rapture every Monday. Bluegrass Jam at Front Porch Roots Music School. Seafoot, Charlottesville Friends Old Time Music Weekly Open Jam at the Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church.
Seafoot.
Tangle Music with Miles Pierce and Maddie Metcalf at the Bebedero. Red and the Romantics at the Whiskey Jar. Unks Manor at Rapture. And the Songwriter Night, of course, at Local every Tuesday. Latin Guitar Night with Miles Pierce and Humberto Sales at the Bebedero. The Racket Mountain String Band at the Whiskey Jar. The traditional Irish session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub every Wednesday. The Mike Rosensky and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's. Wednesday and Thursday, Josh Mayo doing the open mic at 1221 Market Street and Bachata Fusion at the Rabbit Hole. Every Thursday, Humberto Salas and Vincent Thorne doing Gypsy Rumba at the Bebedero. And every Thursday, John Dirth at Miller's, because every once in a while you just got to come down to Dirth. And those are only some of the wonderful artistic things going on in our wonderful artistic town.
Some, but not all, of the events, so keep posted, talk to your friends, check it out. We do great things here. We do great things in Charlottesville. This is Homegrown. Drop!
Hi, this is Chloe Esther, and you're listening to Homegrown on 94.7.
39 minutes past the hour. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Homegrown, 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. Why are we so over time? I don't know what it is. We are just really abusing the time of Tim Carrier and Brittany Eversberg. Tim Carrier is a young adult services manager, and Brittany Eversberg is the circulation manager of the Jefferson Madison Regional Library, which they are co-chairs of. April is, if y'all ain't know, it's National Poetry Month.
Yep.
It's that time again.
That's right.
And we have our two favorite poets back in the house.
I'm not a poet, but I'm a co-chair for Poem in Your Pocket.
Still works.
Day.
Yes. Still works. If you chair poetry, fun. You are a poet. And I'm sure you got some in your pocket somewhere. So,
did we bring any this time?
You know, we are still in the process of getting them ready. That's right. We've still got a couple of weeks before the event takes place. So
okay.
we're putting it together as we speak.
April 25th. So you got some time.
Also
that's
my
right.
birthday.
Aww.
I get to do both. It'll be fun.
That's You'll get nothing but poems.
That's what I will be getting. Poems for dinner, too. It'll be fun. It's
All
always
right.
a good time.
Anything new that you're doing? Can you remind the audience of what National Poem
in Your Pocket Day? That's right. Well, that is an event to encourage people to experience the love, the enjoyment of poetry, and the way we observe that is by making poems available to the public.
Mm-hmm. But Tim, let's be real. Poetry is his best when you're at your natural lowest, right? When you're just in the doldrums of society, you're a fifth of vodka deep. That's when the that's when the poetry really starts to flow. Am I wrong?
I would say you're not wrong. I would say that you're not wrong, but I'd also
something in it that like hates, that loves a wall.
That's right.
Give me another one.
But that's what the poem in your pocket is for. So yeah. When you're at your lowest, you can pull it out.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
Read it.
You just gotta have paper. That's right. You just gotta have paper. That's doesn't matter where you're at and where you are in life.
Right.
You just gotta have some paper and a pen.
Sure. And I'd also say that no matter what your mood, there should be a good poem to help you. Help you either get through a low mood or really elevate a good mood.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite things about poetry is that people can interpret it in different ways. Mm. So I could read a Shakespearean sonnet. Shakespeare's one of my favorite poets, which is hilarious that you guys were talking to Jay and the props person or set designer. I don't know. Sound about Book of Will.
Tanya.
And, you know, talking about Shakespeare, he's one of my favorite poets. Right, so right. you can read a sonnet and completely interpret it a different way, Tim and I could.
Exactly.
So that's one of the, it's universal.
What's your favorite?
What's my favorite of what? Poems?
Yeah, sonnets.
I can't remember one off the top of my head that I love the most. I do love Midsummer in terms of plays. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very lyrical. I tend towards lyrical poetry.
I like my favorite poem is My Mistress' Eyes Are Nothing Like the Sun.
Well, that's a good one.
Because he's like, you ain't all that, but...
You got good eyes.
I still rock with you.
Right. But, like, yeah, it's a universal thing. And one of the exciting things that we're doing this year is we're trying to incorporate more diverse poems in there. We're having more Afghan poems, for example.
Right
and working with the IRC... to get that to communities who may really want poetry in a different way.
Now, when you say Afghan poems, are these poems that were written in, Farsi? No, not Farsi, right? Or no, not Farsi.
Swahili, African dialect. Well, there's 200
different dialects.
Did you say Afghan or African?
Afghan.
Afghan. Yeah, okay. So it is Farsi, yes.
Yeah, I would think Farsi.
These particular ones are English translations.
So the English translations.
Yes.
Right. But we do, on another level, we do have a couple of poems this year among the ones we received permission to include, a couple that are in both English and Spanish, for example.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about the idea of poems in translation? Because it seems, it's hard enough to get just... say fiction writing or prose writing translated because it's so much more of an art form than it is a skill translation because it's hard to just switch from one language to another but language is so important with poetry, the feel of it, the sound of it. What do you think? So what do you think about what do you think about the idea of translating poetry? Can it be done? Is it worthwhile?
I was going to say, do you think something gets lost in the translation?
Yeah. Is it the same poem?
I mean, I've read the English translations of the Afghan poems we're going to be giving out, and they're beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what they're trying to say.
No, and I don't mean this to be like an indictment of like culture vulturing or anything that... is against y'all in terms of trying to alter the intention of the original text. I'm just saying that
you're wondering what it's lost.
Yeah, and I'm wondering what of the I just got to go with that. There's something because different cultures stress different
words, inflections and
inflections. Not only that, but aspects like when Americans talk about love, I think it means something different than when the Latina culture talks about love and when the African culture talks about love. Like I think that those constructs are differing by where from where you live. So I'm not like concerned about it or
right.
I mean, I think that the author would understand that when you do that, that's the price that you pay, quote unquote. But I'm fascinated by that.
Again, poetry is universal, so I could interpret it one way, you right. could interpret
totes
it a different
my goats.
Way.
And yep, that's yep. and that's all I'm saying. Yeah. I'm just like, so I never thought about that until
trying to make it more accessible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to speak from the other from the other way, I mean it's like there's I mean poetry is it's a one like you got to experience the art of other
absolutely.
Cultures.
Yeah.
You got to do that. And I'm not about to learn
Farsi.
Dari or Pashto. Uh-huh. Haha. Persian languages in Afghanistan, thank you very much. I'm not about to learn Dari or Pashto yeah. in order to read these poems.
But they do.
And that's my Americanized.
I agree with that.
you did very well. And I do appreciate Persian culture. Jake Gyllenhaal did y'all totally wrong. But
Prince of Persia. Deep cut.
Deep cut. My guests are like, "What are you talking about?"
Prince of Persia.
Thank you, Brittany. She was just like, "I just didn't find it funny. I just didn't find it funny. I just didn't like it." Back to y'all. The Jefferson Madison Regional Library always puts this joint on. Is there anything that you're doing different this year from National Poetry Pocket Day, 2019, that you are doing, that you were doing from 2018, and so on and so forth? Anything new that you're going to mix up this year?
Yeah.
In addition
most of the events, activities will be fairly similar. Obviously, we'll still have the poems available at all of our locations to hand out. And every year we have a street team that also hands out poems to the public on the downtown mall. In the evening that day, we'll also have a Poetry on the Steps event, which is an open mic event for anybody to come and read a favorite poem, either one of their own or a favorite that they have read. And that's open to anybody that evening at 7 p.m.
I think what should happen is that you should read a poem, and then I should be able to throw baseballs until you fall into a vat of water. I think that would just be an interesting event.
No
it
dunk
would
tank.
Be a dunk,
no
dunk
tank?
No dunk tank.
Aww. Quoth the raven, never. No. I'm just trying to mix it up.
Oh, sure.
I'm the same guy that wants turret guns on NASCARs. I just think it would mix it up a bit. But yeah, I think I'm totally joking. I'm being glib, but I honestly do think that poetry is incredibly important to the national landscape. I think that any type of vehicle that we can use to describe emotion quickly, succinctly, in a way that other people can find it relative and therapeutic, is absolutely imperative to have in our culture. Do you feel strongly about poetry as I do?
Is that what you meant?
Yes. Is what the question is I'm going to ask after we do this drop. quick segue. Yeah, that's what Clinton meant. We're going to do a commercial and we'll be right back. This is Homegrown. Drop.
This is local writer Amanda Corman. You're listening to Homegrown, your show about local art on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
51 minutes past the hour. You're just tuning in. You're listening to Homegrown. 94.7 WPVC. Do you Hulu or Netflix because of the commercials? Go.
Netflix. Netflix. I do both.
You know? I do it too, but I'm this close to cutting my Hulu account just because A, it has everything and I would just be sucked in a hole, and B, because of the commercials. Like it's like a 90-minute commercial at one point. Like just constantly of one ad.
It's the same ad. That's my problem with it.
It's like an Infinity War trailer for like in the middle of your show. And I'm like, come on.
I use that as my tea break. I go get myself some tea or something. That's me.
Sounds good.
Yes.
I guess everybody needs a tea break and a pee break.
The world.
But I got a pause button so I can do all of that. And my pee break is in my control. I pause it for 3 minutes, for 30 seconds. Who knows?
That is true.
And I come back. This all has to do with poetry.
Of course.
And I'm going to tie it back. There's a great poetry special on Netflix. If you get like I said, 5 minutes. I do find poetry very important. I've been writing poetry ever since I was a child. I write poetry every now and then. I have a lot of poetry and I have a lot of music and stuff.
You should come to Poetry on the Steps.
What is that? Talk about it.
It's where you basically read your poem in front of people.
On the steps?
Yeah.
Which
of
steps?
A library. Central Library.
Central Library.
When y'all do that?
It was at 7 p.m. April
That's
25th?
At 7 p.m. on April Ooh. 25th. It's basically an open
my
mic.
My poetry is not kid friendly. I shouldn't be shouting it at loud decibels. I just want to let you know. But I do find poetry.
I can't picture any poem that you would write that wouldn't be shouted at loud decibels.
This is very true. Or me crying under a pillow. One or the other. I'm very well rounded. But now I forgot the question I was gonna ask. I was just actually telling Clinton how much I was looking forward to seeing you guys from last Aww. Year because hey, I enjoyed the time that we had last
Well, we enjoyed being
That's
here.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I mean I say that because you guys feel like genuinely passionate about the stuff that y'all do.
Yeah, can I ask, so did the library come to you guys, say, hey, we need this organize it, or did you go to them and say, please, let us do this?
Actually, it was a colleague of ours who also has a very, very strong interest in mm-hmm. poetry, who was aware of Poem in Your Pocket Day, what was being done in New York and in mm-hmm. other parts of the country. And she thought it would be a really good idea to bring it to Charlottesville, to Jefferson Madison Regional Library. And so she approached probably our director and several other people in administration mm-hmm. about the idea of observing the event at the library. And so she really kind of created the foundation for it for the library. And we've been following that general pattern mm-hmm. ever since then, with a few variations over the years.
Mm-hmm. So after she retired, Tim kind of wonderfully filled the gap, and I stepped up to try to help. And that's how we're mm-hmm. doing it every year. Right. We love it. Mm-hmm.
And this has been how many years now?
Probably for the library about 10 years, yeah. and the mm-hmm. The program itself has been going on a little bit longer
than that. Yeah, because it's a national program. Yeah.
Exactly, mm-hmm. yeah. right.
And who's behind the program at the national level?
Oh, gosh.
It started in New York, right?
It started in New York. Mm-hmm. We found out about it through the Academy of American Poets, and I believe they work with a local group in New York as well.
So are there other places where it's the library that observes? That does something to observe this?
Well, I think it depends on the area. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes it's observed particularly in schools. Sometimes it's in libraries. We will receive inquiries from other groups or other organizations mm-hmm. in other parts of the country asking us how we have done it and the kind of steps that we followed to make it happen. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes we're able to let them know what we've been doing and how we have located poems and other things as well.
Do you send your responses back to them in the form of poems? In the form of a sonnet?
That would be nice. We'll have to think about that.
We should write some
That's
haikus.
Right. Uh-huh.
All right. All right. Lightning round, because we got to leave in a few minutes, 1 minute. All right. Poet you would marry, poet you would kill. Go. Come on. We got to end the sighting.
Poet you would marry, poet you would kill. I would not kill any poet.
No, I love all poets.
Really?
Yeah.
Wasn't Hitler a poet or didn't like do other, like, I don't know. There has to be like a tyrant
I'll do it. I would marry Sylvia Plath.
I would kill myself.
And then I would do a suicide pact with her. Because she's just that much. She is just
she's
that.
So much.
You just have to go all the way.
But the Bell Jar is so good. It's such a great book. We end sad and we end happy at the same time.
There
Thank you
go.
So
much. Poetry. So
it's
there you go.
Just like poetry.
Exactly.
We tie it on the big
you
bow
did.
And we give
you
it
did.
Out. Mm-hmm. Thank y'all so much
yeah.
for coming
thank
on
you.
To the show. And
yeah.
thank you for putting poetry into our lives and putting really this is
yeah,
this
no
is
thanks.
Important and thank you for the work that you're all doing it,
thank
it
you.
Means a lot
oh,
to
good.
Me and I'm sure it means a lot to everybody else
everyone looks forward to it every year they're like oh
That's
it's
right.
poem day
exactly
and so
exactly
they
but poem day can be every day it can be 365
it's mm-hmm. but it's not
Absolutely.
Every day you get one rolled up given to you
this is true
exactly
usually
yeah,
I turn my poetry up and I blast it out of my car window for all of the world to hear well we gotta take off this has been Homegrown it's been a lovely time stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake up call it's gonna be dope thank you Clinton love you thank you Leslie hope you get better thank you to Tim Carrier Brittany Eversberg Jay Taylor Tanya Manuel we'll be back next week have a good one peace
He told me he's Jewel.
Our opening music is from Spit It Out, Inc. Our event music is by Positive Collective right now. We're listening to the work of Matthew Allwell. Any complaints from Homegrown should be directed to our attorneys at the fine Lithman Law Firm of Tuchman, Oberman, Munson & Burke. Legal therapists that wrap around you like a thong. Remember to keep your dial here on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. We will see you next week.
His cheeks were like a rosy red, his hair an auburn brown. And over his broad shoulders, his hair in ringlets down. His teeth as white as ivory, his eyes as black as snow. He breaks the heart of all the girls, no matter where he goes. Oh, once I kept his company, intending to be his bride. But now he's gone and left me to cross the raging tide.
You've been listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.